Hello and welcome to Misbehave, the podcast where we explore human behavior in a business context. Season 2 of Misbehave is all about uncovering behavioral patterns which create success in life and business. We're joined by highly driven, accomplished individuals to assess their behavioral patterns and dive into how behaviors have influenced their journey. In today's episode, we dive into the topic of leadership self-awareness and discuss why leaders simply being self-aware isn't enough to truly develop their leadership skills. We talk about everything from the role of self-awareness in leadership development to where this starts and ends to the other strategies that need to be in place for leaders to truly elevate. So in today's episode, we are going to have a little conversation about why self-awareness isn't enough in leadership development. This feels like a topic that we've been talking a lot about recently. We've seen lots of different examples of leaders that have been through leadership development programs, coaching programs, online leadership training, internal cohorts with their leadership peers, and increasingly profiling or behavioral understanding is starting to become part of those, which is great. We're massive fans of that because it didn't used to be. But the behavioral understanding is seeming to start and end with self-awareness. So I wanted to really just to dive into that topic a little bit more. I think leadership self-awareness is becoming a bit of a hot topic, which is great because we're huge believers in leaders being self-aware and understanding more about their own behaviors, how that impacts how they make decisions, how it impacts how they influence at peer level, how it impacts how they lead their team. So that self-awareness piece is critical, but it should be where development starts, not where development ends.
I totally agree. And I think if you think about a typical leadership program, often you will learn things like how to lead a difficult conversation, how to manage conflict, how to, drive a performance. But it's about focusing on you as the leader. So the focus and the emphasis is about how you go about doing that without really taking into consideration how everybody that you might manage will be different and will also have a different maybe convincer mode where they're convinced of something, a different learning style, different behavioral profiling or personality profiling, whatever. But everybody is different. So as you say, the insight for yourself is absolutely critical because you need to understand that first and foremost, really. But the next layer onto that is like, how do you then utilize that to be able to have a really effective two-way conversation, or it might be one-to-many conversation, and have a lasting impact and drive up the outcomes that you want to have in a way that is really intentional and purposeful. And, you know, some of that comes into the prep of a conversation and really thinking about how does this other person like to receive information? How do they like to be communicated with? How do they like to be motivated with? If all you know is all of those things about yourself, you are missing a huge piece of the jigsaw puzzle.
And I think that's the bit, isn't it? It's like, okay, it is really useful if we just take the profile of a leader, right? And if you maybe are a leader that reacts really quickly, says things off the cuff, is very independent in the way that you think through things, you tend to make your own decisions versus including other people, it's useful for you to understand that that type of directional leadership might rub some people up the wrong way. And it's useful for you to understand when you might need to flex that, when you might need to get other people's thoughts to generate buy-in, when you might need to slow down your decision. All of that's useful, right? So that self-awareness is key here. Mm-hmm. So what we're not saying is don't get that. Get that about yourself. But then as you just said, if the information ends there, so say I'm that leader and I know that actually I need to be conscious of slowing down my decision making. I mean, hazard a guess as to whether or not that's correct or not. That's useful for me. But what if I've got two team members who are also quick thinkers and actually need me to make quicker decisions when I'm around them? Not knowing
what the dynamics of my team are and what behaviors they have and how they need me to make decisions or how they need me to communicate with them, you've only got, like you said, half the jigsaw puzzle. So, okay, I understand my blind spots and I understand where I need to flex. But actually the question is, do you always need to flex? Because if you have a team that are very similar to you, you may have to flex a small amount of the time, but actually you can lean on those natural skews more often than not because you're leading and managing people that are like you. But if you don't understand whether they're like you or not, you're going to be influencing in a way that you figured out is better, but actually are they receiving information how they need to receive it?
If you're curious to know more about your leadership behaviours, click the link in the show notes to get a free leadership DNA profile for a limited time only.
Okay, let me just delve into that a little bit further. The way we are naturally built, we will default to behaving and communicating in a way that works for us. We say this over and over again with people that we manage or people that we work with. They will naturally give you information and manage you in a way that works for them. That is built in. What we actually need to know more about is, what do we need to do when we need to do the opposite to what would work for us? Or sometimes to flex a little bit. So it might not be the polar opposite, but flex a little bit in order to have those communications in a way that drive up success. So this idea of like just understanding you, you already have a good subconscious understanding of yourself because you default to that more often than enough. Now, often this information gives you way more tactics about what to do with that information. But if you then have that information about your team members, you can then leave the judgment at the door, which is also a natural instinct, mm-hmm. and start to understand what's driving their behavior, their motivation, and also just the way in which they approach projects, tasks, teamwork, leadership. How could you influence and develop them in a way that will win for you and for them? And for me, that's the bit. It's like, we will naturally have instincts in us. You hear it all the time where you go, well, I kind of knew that about myself. Or you hear people saying, well, I'm pretty good at judging people. I'm pretty intuitive. I've been told that before. That's great, but you won't always get it right. What we're talking about is, imagine a world where you would have that information about your team, or it could be about a group of people that you're working with, which short circuits the learning and understanding. So you can make trust quicker, you can build relationships quicker, and you can motivate quicker. It doesn't just speed the process up, but it also builds that connection much quicker in a way that you can drive up results off the back of that. Like, who wouldn't want that in their business?
And I'd almost argue that that piece around, I think I know someone, I don't know what figure we'd put on it, but when we've seen that before, I'd argue that 75% of what you think is wrong. Because people tend to, in your team, if your team want to do a good job, they will tend to flex to your management style. So if you're a manager that works off the cuff and fastballs a lot, the likelihood is that even if some of your team members don't naturally work at that pace, they will flex to your pace. Now, the challenge with that is that's exhausting. If that is not their natural area of strength, they are continuously, day after day, working against a strength that they have. If their more natural way of working is to take some time to think and reflect and then act, and you're not managing in a way that allows them to do that, you will find things like burnout, stress, anxiety, people going off sick, productivity levels dipping. So you might well be thinking, oh, well, my team are all like me. They all work in a very similar way to how I work. But do they work because they're flexing to your style? And actually, are you optimizing their strengths? Because if you're not, if they're flexing to your style, not only is it exhausting for them, you will not be getting the levels of productivity that you could get. So it's that assumption is so dangerous. And when people often get that self-awareness piece, like we often see people when maybe they've done a profile and all of a sudden they think they're an expert in that profile and they go home and they're like, oh, I think I know what my wife is now. Mm-hmm. Or I think I know what that coworker is. Oh, I'm a sunshine yellow. Oh, well, I think you're a sunshine yellow. Or I think you might be a red. That assumption of understanding after only having a profile about yourself that's often delivered in a day or less, you're not an expert by any means, is can almost be more dangerous than not having the understanding in the first instance. So I suppose the watch out with this is if you are a leader where you're going through something that's giving you insight into yourself, brilliant, but apply that insight to you. Apply that understanding to your blind spots and your strengths and where you need to work more in line with your strengths and overcome the blind spots. But don't risk the assumption of trying to guess what other people are or presuming that because you now know more about yourself, you're going to become this amazing leader and suddenly be able to motivate and manage your team in a way that's going to resonate with them.
Yeah, for sure. And I do think it depends on your leadership style. Like, your point earlier about people flexing and generally gravitating towards the leader's behavioural styles, or if they, you know, you tend to flex in a way that, because they're the boss, right? But what we want to make sure is that, and I think these days people are managing differently, it's less dictatorial, it's more inclusive, cultures are more open for discussion and debate. But I think a big piece around leadership programmes in general is just around making sure that how do you apply the learning in a context back in the working environment? Because it's the application of the learning and the practicing of that and creating new habits where the real magic happens. And for me, when I'm looking at, you know, we've looked at stuff for ourselves around how do we develop our own leadership styles. More often than enough, it's understanding the people that are around you. And then understanding, for example, delegation is a huge piece in this. It's not just communication. It's like, how do you delegate appropriately? Well, if you don't really understand the skill sets and the makeup of your people, you could be delegating massively wrong. And we know that's a time drainer and a money drainer. If you're delegating in a way that is utilizing your team and maximizing their unique abilities, making sure that they're happy in that environment, they will do work way quicker and way happier than if you delegate wrong.
And I think that's a great example, isn't it? Because that delegation piece is one that is taught in leadership programs 9 times out of 10. If you've ever had an exec coach or you've gone through a coaching program, you've probably received coaching around delegation. But what it's likely that you will have received is delegation techniques. And yes, there are absolutely techniques to delegation, you know, delegate the process, not the task, all of that. And you might have received insight into how you, the fact that potentially you don't delegate because you're a bit of a control freak or whatever, right? So if you understand more about your own behaviours, you might have overcome some of that of, okay, I tend to hold things myself, so I need to delegate more. What it's unlikely that you'll have been taught is exactly what you're saying, is who in your team to delegate what to based on their strengths. You don't understand that actually 3 members of your team are more procedural, therefore will be better with procedural tasks than you. Immediately, you then know who to delegate that to. Equally, those procedural people are going to need a process when you delegate it to them. So those sort of broad brush delegation tips don't always work. You know, if you've got someone who's not procedural, the delegate a process, not a task, might not work for them. They don't necessarily need a process. They need a good end goal and they need to understand what is the end result that you want to achieve, but it's likely that they'll create how they get there. So that, I think, delegation technique piece is really fascinating from a perspective. And that's one of the reasons when we built our platform that we built a solution in there that tells leaders what to delegate and then tells them in their team who to delegate those things to.
Yeah. One thing, let's just play devil's advocate a little bit here. One thing I would say is that if you flip it the other way and you focus just on other people, but you don't have the insight on yourself, that's equally a bad position to be in. Because I do think often you will find people will spend time on their team, but don't necessarily allocate budget and time on developing themselves as a leader. And I think sometimes you have to remind yourself that the budget needs to also start with you. Like, you know, your business is only going to grow and scale if the leaders in the business grow and scale. So the insight does start with the insight of yourself, because if you don't have not a clue and you're not self-aware about how your behavior is impacting all the people around you, it doesn't matter how you understand them.
That's so funny, because I probably in the last 3 months, now we're in sales mode currently with the way that we've pivoted our business, but I must have had at least 4 emails in the last 3 months saying we don't put budget into self-development, our budget goes into our team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it might be that the businesses are doing fantastic things for their team members, but often the intention behind that's good. So the intention is, maybe we're a business, we've got a small budget, so let's put all the money into the team. That's the intention, right? Great intention. But what that, it often actually creates the wrong result. Because sometimes what that can look like to your team is, I want you to develop, but I'm not prepared to develop.
Or I don't need to.
Mm. I'm brilliant exactly how I am. And usually that's not the reason. So I think that's such a valid point. It's something that we're seeing a lot currently, and it might well be budgets are tighter, so we're looking at different areas. But I'd almost argue, if your budget is tighter, flip it the other way. Because the leaders and managers in your business have far more impact if they're managing people. They need to understand how to manage those people in the right way.
I mean, there's a lot to be said about in-house training, but there's also around, like, I'm a massive advocate of you going and joining a cohort of people from different businesses, but actually doing a program in some way, shape or form, which involves multiple people in your team, whether that's the leadership team, whether it's middle managers, whether it's the board, where you actually get that insight about each other. And then what does that dynamic mean? How can it be strengthened? How can you learn to appreciate the differences in that group of people to then be able to develop and grow collectively as a collective? And I know teams change and it's open to a change in dynamics, but having that understanding, like, we've done that stuff collectively, you and I have done that stuff, where we've really got an awful lot out of something just off understanding each other better. It's really important, I think, to think about when you're investing in this stuff, that it's not just one or the other. Sometimes it might need to be as a collective.
And thinking about those collectives of, do they make sense of people who work together? Because often we'll see people where, for example, you put together a management group that's going to have training, and that might include 20 managers from across the business. It's about looking at how useful is it for them to learn about each other. Because if those 20 managers are across 20 different sites and they interact with each other once a year, well, them understanding about each other is not particularly useful. They don't work with each other. But yet that's often how leadership cohorts are put together. You'd actually be better to spend your budget on putting maybe a couple of managers that work together and then some of their team members in a group, or some of the more senior leaders who maybe manage those people day to day. Make sure that if you're doing and you're putting budget into something where you're giving a group of people insight into each other, that they're going to use that insight. Otherwise, they'll use it in the room and it'll all be very interesting to understand about this person that lives in London and you live in Newcastle and you interact with each other. But, oh, actually, I can now say that I know that you're a yellow. But if I only speak to you twice a year, how useful is that information?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think some of the most valuable information that I've ever had in any of the training or programs I've been on has been about the people that I work the most closely with. Like, certainly, Anna, we avoid conflict. We've built trust really well. We can have difficult conversations. We can address things where we have a difference in opinion way more effectively, because I understand you. Now, obviously, it's what we do for a living. So if I don't understand who I'm working with, I think I'm in the wrong job. But that was way more valuable than me going and learning a theory on something 100%. And not being able to apply the theory because I didn't realise who I was applying it to.
Yeah, for sure. And understanding, and equally from my side, you know, there are days where when you lead people, whether you or the owner of the business, the founder, whether you're a middle manager, whether you're somebody who's just come into management, whether you've been managing for 30 years, you're time poor. When you lead and manage, typically leadership and management is part of your job. You've also got a whole host of other things that you're responsible for. So time is of the essence. And I think for me, knowing the behavioral things about our team short circuits my day. You know, if I know that I'm going to go and ask for something from someone on a team, I might know that they're not particularly going to want to do the task that I'm going to ask them to do. But if I know how to motivate them, if I know what they're driven by, and I can give them a task in a way that drives them, that's just short-circuited a whole host of time that potentially, if I didn't know that information, I would have thrown them the task probably in a way that they needed it differently. They might then have not done it or come back and done it in a completely wrong way. So for me, it's about the time saving. Often we hear, oh, I don't have time for my leaders to understand everybody. I don't have time for them to become a behavioral expert. But you don't have time for them not to, because it will take so much more time in the long run with this guesswork game of, oh, well, I thought I delegated that, but all of a sudden it's ended back on my plate. Or, oh, I thought that person was happy, but actually they've just handed their notice in. How have I not seen this? You know, I've met very few leaders and managers who didn't want to do a good job in leading and managing their team. But we've got to give them the right tools to do that. So let's wrap up with a couple of takeaways from today's episode. The first really is to think about when you are investing in things like leadership development, coaching programs, internal leadership cohorts in the future, to just consider whether, in addition to providing leaderships with self-awareness and insight into themselves through potential profiling tools, to also consider the impact of providing wider team insight so that they really then have that full picture to lead and manage from, not just the self-awareness about themselves. And really just to emphasize the benefits of giving leaders and managers in your business that insight into their team, that they're able then to rely less on judgment and assumptions to make decisions and really be able to make leadership decisions based on facts about their team, that they're able to then short circuit some of those leadership interactions because they know exactly how the people in their team need to receive information for it to resonate, which really just makes delegating, communication, and managing performance so much more effective and efficient.
Thank you for listening to Misbehave. Follow us so you don't miss out on other episodes.